2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Hour number three of the show, hour number two of the Cougar Preview Show. We do it every Wednesday from 1 to 3. Tomorrow, Frank Dolce will join us for the Ute Preview Show. We'll chat with him, get his thoughts on Utah and Oregon State. Huge battle there. But joining us now, BYU, former BYU legend. Well, I guess he's always a legend. Will Snowden, running Alpha Recruits as well. Will, how the heck are you?
Hi, Will.
Hey guys, how are you doing? It's wonderful to hear both of your voices today, even yours, Hans. I'm feeling really good today. Feeling really positive about what's going on in the state of Utah with all of the schools, and so it's a great day. It's a real great day. Hans, good to hear your voice, and Scotty, you already know the deal. It's great to hear you always, brother.
Well, the pleasure's all ours, Will. Because you're a good
human. And let me just tell you how I listen to the show. Just so you guys know how I listen to the show. I listen to the show every day, or, you know, I'll usually have it playing. And what I'm able to do is I have a mute button on my, I'm able to mute. So when you turn it over to Hans, mute. And then I turn it back on. I've actually programmed my computer to his voice. So it just mutes out when he talks. And then you start talking, and then I hear it again. So I get to hear only your takes. And it's been really good for me. So, just letting the world
know
that.
Did you set that up through Siri? Is that something that Siri really does?
Yeah, it's just a voice cut out, you know what I mean? And then, boom. I'm surprised I even heard you ask that question.
Because I guess what I would ask now is, are you serious?
That's why I love you guys. How are you guys doing? Isn't it a great time? You enjoying the season?
Oh, man.
Oh, it's the best.
Good time to be alive, Will.
It is the best. We're just knee-deep in all college football glory.
We spend all summer preparing for these 12 weeks, and it just doesn't get much better than this, for sure. So
it really
does.
Let's talk. And one thing, Scotty, I'm sorry that I'm kind of taking over, but I really do want to say publicly, both of you guys are great color guys, and I'm just loving listening to Hans on the call. Hans, really, you've been exceptional. You do an exceptional job. You really, really do. BYU fans should be happy to have you and have you on these calls, because it's been really interesting to listen to, and such good takes. I think that everyone knew you had great takes before you got that position with just your film breakdown, but hearing you live during the games, it really is special, man. So keep on doing what you're doing.
Let me take you back to 1997. Did you ever think that Hans Olsen would ever be the radio voice and face of BYU athletics, and essentially being the guy that represents that fine institution to the rest of the world?
know what? I'm going to go with no comment on that and let everyone decide what that means. So I'm going to say no comment. Absolutely no comment.
I'm guessing you would get emotional if you started to get into it.
Just too much. Yeah, just too much, Scotty. It's just too much to ask. I mean, I'll tell you the answer would be absolutely not. But he's, I mean, but he's the right person for the job. He represents it so well, and we're loving every second of it.
So you were a running back and a darn good one. Will, tell me what needs to happen at BYU to get the running back rushing and this offensive line blocking.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, guys, I've been watching quite a bit and going back and looking at things, and BYU is going to have to decide really who they want to be at the point of attack. You know, it's more than just the running back. It's more than just the offensive line. It's more than just the OC. But when you look in this business, you have to point back to the OC and the run game coordinator. What is the plan going into these games? What you'll see is you'll see guys falling off of blocks. And I think the O-line can be a little bit more aggressive at the point of attack, just like the backs can, because there have been plenty of holes that the backs have hit and that they have missed. And I think it's still just getting to the point where everything is flowing. And right now, BYU offensively in the run game is more going with the flow instead of being the flow. And so they need to decide to be the flow. And what that means is they really have to attack the point of attack really aggressively. I'm hoping to see them even change up some of their run game packages. I'd like to see a little bit more. I would, you know, really like to see a little bit more pistol looks, giving the feature back a little bit more space to work with instead of moving lateral so much. Get moving downhill, put your foot in the ground, and start getting some tough yards. And I think that A-Rod and this staff will get that figured out, and I think everyone will see it Friday, because the rushing attack is absolutely terrible. As we've seen, I think we're last in the country there in rushing, and that's just that's a bad recipe to win ball games. And we saw it a little bit this past week in the Kansas loss.
So you feel like the tools are there to fix it, and, you know, because sometimes you just have issues you just can't fix in a regular season. You got to address in the off season, whether it's recruiting or transfer portal or whatever. But you think that the elements are there in place to be able to at least resolve that to some extent this season?
I think so. I really do think they will resolve it this season. I mean, they're going to have to, right? This is a really simple business. I guarantee you Coach Funk wants to fix this right now. I guarantee you A-Rod wants to fix this right now. They want to fix it as much as we want it fixed, and it's their job to get it fixed, and I expect them to get it fixed moving forward. And I'm going to be looking really closely Friday night to see if the steps are being made in the protections, in the way the game is called, in the commitment to the run, not going away from it. And also, I think that one of the things that we have to look at as well is a lot of times when you don't have a quarterback who is a QB run game quarterback, right, who really is dangerous on his feet, and I'm not saying that Slovis isn't. I'm not saying he can't run, but the game plan isn't really to bring Slovis in and have him beat you with his legs at all. I do think quarterback run really does open up. If we looked at top rushing schools, maybe at just rushing overall, I guarantee that quarterback is adding quite a bit of yards to the top teams. And so there's just some creative things that A-Rod's going to have to do to get the quarterback more of a threat with running the ball. And then more importantly, you just got to win the line of scrimmage. This game is won in the trench. And this is not like basketball where you can shake a guy and go dunk over three guys. That's not how football works. Everyone has to do their job. And at the end of the day, BYU up front and the running backs, quarterbacks, and coaches aren't doing it well enough yet. But the good news is they're 3-1 going into week 5 with a bye behind this game. If they can get this win, they go in 4-1. They have a bye to go back and really start putting together game plans for the next game and putting together more aggressive running attacks.
Huh. You said something that just kind of piqued my interest there, Will. You go back to that Sam Houston game, and two of the touchdowns were rushing touchdowns by the quarterback. And I know one of them is a goal line situation, but he's got three rushing touchdowns. Those are the only three rushing touchdowns of his career. He's not known as a rusher, but he can move a little bit. It just makes me wonder how much more can you use him in the run game? If when you look at Slovis, is there a way to incorporate him a little bit more in the run game, or do you feel like they've maxed it out?
No, I don't think it's maxed out, and I think that it will help the running attack, the yards per carry, if you start putting in some QB run game. Now, don't get me wrong. Slovis is not the guy. It's not like you have, you know, even Jaron or Zach. Those guys could really, really run with the ball. And it does put defenses on the, you know, it puts you on your heels when you have to be concerned about the QB run game. So I do think it will help with a real threat of QB run game. So I think I'm hoping that they do more RPO, more option stuff where the quarterback can take off and run because he's a capable runner. He's just not, you know, it's not like you say, oh man, Slovis is a killer running the ball, but it's not like he cannot run the ball. He proved it in the first game. I mean, without those touchdowns, the Sam Houston game is a total different game, right? Those are the scores. So I feel like I would want to get him a little bit more involved in the QB run game. And if that's not the case, maybe even doing some wildcat stuff, getting more creative, more things to prepare for than just them handing the ball off to the running back when you don't really have any fear of any type of quarterback pool.
Injury starting to cause some problems on the defensive side. How concerned are you if a number of these guys are out for an extended amount of time?
It's obviously a concern for any BYU fan, and but I think they've done a good job with adding depth. Defensively, they're already pretty beat up. I mean, it's starting the season without both of the safeties that would usually be starting. That already is a big loss, and they've held their own. But obviously, the main goal with any program is to have enough depth that you can really follow the next man up. That's the name of this business. I mean, it's a sport where injuries are going to happen. So I am concerned with any injuries that are going to continue to pile up. I mean, they don't have much more room for many injuries, but I think that Jay Hill, Kalani Sitake, those guys have prepared, and they're preparing their backups as best as they can to be able to go make plays when those lights come on. And that's it. Just there's nothing else to do, nothing else to say about it. But am I concerned? Of course. But I'm concerned about any team that lines up on a Friday or Saturday and have to go win a game with, you know, not your starters. And that's most schools. As you've seen, Utah has been, you know, trying to hang on with the injuries that they've had. They're not the only, and, you know, we can feel real sorry for them, but they're not the only ones. Cincinnati has people beat up, you know, week five in any college, in any football league, there's guys beat up, and if you have any questions about that, just call the local seventh grade coach coaching out of Westlake. Probably some guys beat up, and you got to figure out how to win regardless. So that's my answer there.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
So, Will, Harrison Taggart and Raider DeMooney are two names that I think people need to start looking for and paying attention to based off what Scott just asked you with the linebacker and the safety injuries. I would expect Harrison Taggart to take those Ben Bywater reps. I just don't expect Bywater based off of how bad it looked during the game last week. And the safety spot's just been depleted with all kinds of things. And it feels like everybody's kind of waiting on Raider DeMooney to come along and do something big. Do you know much about either one of these young men and what BYU fans could expect if they do see number 11 and number 33 on the field?
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, those are two top recruits, two of the biggest recruits that the state has ever had in Raider and Taggart. Pat Taggart moves extremely well. When he got here, he was. I wanted him to lean up a little bit, and I know. And looking at him, he looks a lot leaner, a lot meaner. He's moving well sideline to sideline. Those guys are definitely prepared and can do it. My concern with Rader is nothing with his skill set, but he is just off his mission. First game, I saw him in there making tackles, making big hits, and. You know, you can tell that things are happening really fast in front of him. But the best thing for BYU is getting Rader DeMooney reps as soon as he's possible, ready to get reps, because he's an elite talent. And if there's any questions about how elite he is, just look at his high school tape. And then also, just he comes from a long line of ballers. The whole family, this is what they do. They're football guys, and Rader understands the game as good as anyone. And he's just a playmaker. My only concern is just keeping those legs and keeping everything healthy. So I'm sure they're concerned with that, and they're going to kind of try and limit him as much as they can. But they're kind of in a situation where they need him, and they need him now. So that's the question.
I mean, in the recruiting world, you follow these athletes. You know what it's like when they go on missions and come back on missions. Is it a tough ask for a kid like Rader DeMooney to be a huge contributor when he's just a biscuit toss away from coming back off his mission?
Yeah, I mean, well, time's going to tell. But usually it's a lot to ask for a guy to be that quick off his mission, and then expecting him to be a highly effective player in Power 5 ball. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to say Rader can't do it, because he's looked good to me when he's been out on the field. But you can tell that he definitely, things are happening in front of him very fast, and these reps are really needed reps. But the reality is, Rader DeMooney is not at 100%. He's really not. So after this year, and after he gets through spring and goes out the field on the field next year, I think people can look to see a superstar, because that's what I believe Rader DeMooney is.
So Tiger was a dog in high school too, then?
Beyond dog. I mean, he was the big dog. Very good ball player. And you know, these guys who come from Corner Canyon, they've been coached really well. They've been coached really hard. Harrison has been, you know, he's played right now. You get a chance to see it a little bit with your son, Rock, with all of these different leagues that there are in the off season to get better. So you go to these different competitions, to blocking competitions, with the 7-on-7 getting so big. You know, I was just talking about Travis Hunter and McKay. Like, we've played Travis Hunter. We've played the biggest teams, you know, the most talented kids. So that does give you a different confidence, and it lets you know that you belong with the top dogs who are stars in college football right now. So I do think that, you know, you're looking at guys like Rader, you're looking at guys like Taggart, and these are guys who were top level recruits, and they've been against top talent. So they're right where they need to be. So they're going to hold their own and do their thing and continue to get better and better. So they have two stars with those guys, and, you know, time will tell, but I will guarantee you those two will be great players for BYU for the next 4 years.
Will Snowden joining us right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hey, Will, who's the best starting quarterback in the state right now?
McKay Helfstead.
Jeez.
The true freshman?
McHale says the best. Listen, this is what I'll tell you. As far as – this is just my opinion, and I know people are going to go crazy and maybe, you know, think I'm out of line. I've been working with McKay Hillstead, knowing him a long time, and if you look at the tape of this young man play football and you look at the way he throws the ball, if you would take someone that who's a quarterback guru that you guys look, let's just take Beck. If you send John Beck his tape and say, break down McKay's bottom half and top half, he's gonna say it's almost flawless. The release is so fast. He can push the ball down the field. There's not a throw he can't make. He's a sub 1100 meter runner. He's a kid who went to Utah State with a very not a lot of time, coming off a big injury, was able to take the information that Blake is putting in front of him. And people have to understand, offensively, the way that Utah State likes to attack defenses, this is not kindergarten. This is understanding a real offense, a real attack. As you guys know, Blake Anderson is not he's well respected as an offensive coordinator. That's where he's made his name. So him being able to take this information and actually turn up what type of things that McKay is going to see, the playbook is not turned down or dumbed down for McKay because of his ability to see things and make a decision and let the ball rip. But technically, I believe he's the most talented quarterback in the state of Utah. And then coming out behind him is the young man from Quarter Canyon. And if you watch him throw the ball, he's committed to Utah. He throws the ball. It's very hard to tear down anything mechanically that he does. And that's one of the things, the biggest things that coaches look for as they evaluate a quarterback. Because McKay, I've heard you guys say it, if he was 6 feet tall, not 6'2", not 6'1", if he was 6 feet tall, he'd be playing for any school in the country. And that's a fact. He's super talented. So there's my answer. I believe he's the best in the state. And I will also say he's the most electric quarterback in the state of Utah. He's electrifying, and I can't wait till he's, 150%, where that ankle is fully back, and I think people will see him hit that turf, and you'll see how fast he is.
Well, I will say, calling that game against James Madison, and I know that the interception near the end was a kick in the gut, but not a lot of quarterbacks can pull off what he did in that comeback in trying to get his team back in the game and frankly, pretty much give them a chance to win the game. I mean, it was for a true freshman, for a kid that was just a few months ago slinging it for Corner Canyon and then going up against a really good defense and for the most part picking him apart. It was fun to watch, Will. It was really impressive.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that's so impressive about McKay, and you guys know I'm a big fan. McKay's like a son to me. I've been working with him, mentoring him for years. And one of the things that's really most impressive about McKay Hillstead is, you get thrown in these situations. These are not easy situations as a true freshman. He came in against Air Force and handled himself like a pro. I mean, just look at the reps. And then you come into James Madison, and people are like, who's James Madison? Well, do your research, and you'll find out who they are, how they recruit. And all you have to do is look at their athletes, and you're like, man, these guys are big up front. They're long. Corners are big and long. This was a very good ball club coming to face Utah State, and you got a true freshman in here, and there's some things that obviously need to be worked out on protections. And don't get me wrong, McKay is not perfect. There's a lot of things that he could have done better. But as far as just holding your water, the kid held his water, and he's so dangerous from the pocket. I mean, he's a pocket passer, and I know that sounds crazy standing only at 5'10". But if you watch how comfortable he is in the pocket, it's just brilliant to watch. So he's by far, out of all the quarterbacks, and I'm going to say this as well, I believe there's not a more talented quarterback on any roster in the state of Utah. I do not believe there's a better or more talented quarterback on any roster in the state of Utah. So that's I'm going to stick by it, and I believe it, and people can argue with me all they want, but time's going to tell.
So Utah State's in with a good one right now.
Yeah, they got a good one there, and I'm excited about them. I'm excited about all of the schools. It's a great time. I mean, I feel like Utah State is in a fine position. They're getting ready to, go play Connecticut. That's a good game for them right now. Hopefully they play well, and then you get into real Mountain West Conference play, and I think they can make some noise. Obviously, where Utah is, they've been holding on, fighting, playing tough football. And then you got BYU sitting at 3-1, really should be 4-0. They let that game get away from them last week. So I think it's a good place for Utah, the state of Utah, to really represent well this year when it's all said and done by the end of the season.
I agree.
Will, you're the best, man. It's a pleasure. It's an honor to always be able to share radio time with you. We're all better people for having been able to spend time in your presence.
Thank you, Scotty. I really do appreciate that. Hans, keep on being wonderful. Scotty, keep on being wonderful. When do you leave, Scotty? Tomorrow for the no, not tomorrow. They play Saturday.
No,
so Friday. You leaving?
Yeah, Friday morning.
All right. Well, it's an exciting weekend. Go Aggies, go Cougars, go Utes, Weber State. There's some big games this weekend. Thunderbirds have, the 20th team in the country coming down to town. So I'll be I'll be locked in on all these games. So you guys have a great week.
You got it. There he is. Will Snowden, one of the best, right here on 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.